You know, many times when the Lord moves kind of prophetically or spirit-led, those kinds of things, there's a sense that, well, God just put a little show on. And He does like to show what He can do. Sometimes people feel when they don't feel the particular need to come, maybe, and be prayed for, that was all just for those people. And I just want to encourage you that it's in the moving of the Spirit where there is real life that comes, even if you don't feel it addresses your particular need. The moving of the Spirit, the stirring of the water, is a powerful analogy. Because God wants to stir and keep things moving. You know what happens when we find a comfort zone? We get used to it. And then we find ourselves just treading water, because there's nothing really pushing us. But when there's a stirring, the stirring may cause some waves. The stirring may cause some disruption. The stirring may cause some discomfort. And it's easy to rebuke the enemy when that happens, because we want things smooth sailing. But I can tell you in my own life, when there has been a stirring, maybe even some disruption, it's caused me to see God from a different perspective. I love the analogy that I have in my mind when we think about in Revelation, when the elders are all around the throne room and they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And they're doing it day and night. And you wonder, how can they keep doing that? Well, it's, I think, because they see another facet of who God is. And that causes them to exclaim again. And then they go around and they're at another point and they see another facet of who God is. And they worship Him for that. So I see that kind of same thing in the stirring of the waters. Yes, there's a little bit of disruption, but there's activity there. And it can cause us to see God in a different way. It can cause us to see a different facet of who He is. And unless the waters are, if the waters are always calm, if you're never in the lion's den, if you're never in the furnace, if you're never in a place that you need something outside yourself, that you're never going to lean on God the way He wants you to. He wants us to trust Him with everything. He wants us to understand that He's going to carry us through whatever we're in. We can certainly ask Him to calm the seas. We can certainly do that. But sometimes the seas are going to be rough. And sometimes you're going to need to reach out and grab God in a deeper way. Sometimes He has got such things, so deep of things to reveal to you, that it takes a shaking for you to even stop long enough to look. You know, this is going to put somebody on the spot, and I don't want to do it except for the fact that the Lord has prompted me. There's a young man on my left that came up front. I don't know that we've met, but I wonder if you'd come and let me pray with you right now. Do you mind? I know that might be awkward, but I just have a sense. Is this your, this not your first time? It's first time. Oh gosh, and I did this on your first time. I am so sorry. But listen, I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I want to encourage you that He's at work. It may be easy to see and blame others for what's going on, but He's allowed something to come against you to cause you to see a different facet of Him, and therefore you will worship Him in that way. What's your first name?
Michael.
Michael. Please forgive me for bringing you up all this on your first time. Man, I'm just so sorry to do that to you. But the Lord has got something for you, Michael. And it is more than you've ever envisioned. I don't know if you come from a family, a heritage of faith. Do you? I got a sense that God was going to use you to lead future generations, especially in your family, in the things of God. But to do that, He's got to solidify Himself inside of you. And you've got to surrender everything in the world, everything, even the things that just look good, surrender them to Him. And He's going to put it together. He is going to build your influence with family members. And you've never seen yourself being able to lead in your family. But God has put a mantle of leadership for your lineage, for the ones that are before you that are still around, but also the ones that come behind you. There is something that you're to do in leading your family. I don't know if this ministers to you or not, but I believe that this is a special day for you to write down, God told me this today, because you're going to need it to remind yourself. Because as you know, relationships and families aren't always fun. And it may take you reminding yourself, wait a minute, God called me to lead my family. God anointed me with the leadership mantle to lead my family. And you're going to need to reassure yourself in that. So I hope we're still friends, Michael. Now, no one wants to visit a church for the first Sunday and be called up front. But the obedience to the things of God is so important in all of our lives. And you may look at that and say, well, God gave the pastor a word because he's the pastor. Well, no, I do have that role, yes. But He gives each of us assignments. And the words that I would speak to Michael today are no more powerful than what you can speak in other people's lives. Today, I know Pastor John's going to talk just a little bit about it at the end. We're training some small group leaders. I just want to encourage you to use the influence that God has given you to speak into the lives of others. Maybe you have a small group and you sense God stirring the waters. Well, is He going to give you a word? I believe He will. I believe He'll give you something that you are to transfer from your ownership to them. I could have just as easily ignored what the Lord was telling me about Michael. I would have been disjointed the rest of the service. I believe that because I believe the Lord said to do it and do it then. But we ought to feel that when we've missed God's timing, we ought to feel a little unsettled so that we can go back and take care of business. I've shared this many times, but I know what it feels like to obey God, and I know what it feels like to disobey God, and I fully rather have the feeling of obeying God. We've had people that the Lord has told me to pray for in the middle of a store, and I just don't want to do that. And I've walked off and got in the car and shared it with Susan and had to say, well, wait a minute, you got to wait a minute. I got to go back in and pray for that person. See, what God requires of us is not something of comfort. Because if it's of comfort, you won't need him to do it. But if it's bigger than you are, you're going to need him to do it. And God loves to be leaned on. He loves to be needed. He loves for his children to depend upon him. And he wants to use each of you. He wants to use you in your daily life. He has placed you there. He has placed you right there to do everything he's called you to do. You may not can see how it works out, but we're not responsible for the results. We are only responsible for doing what the Father has asked us to do. See, I wasn't really responsible if Michael had rejected anything that I'd said, because I knew the Lord said, do it. And he can fully reject it. We have free will. But I believe it witnessed with him. But we're not even to worry about the results. We're to worry about the obedience. That God, you would use me. Oh, it's amazing that he wants to use us. The flawed vessels that we are, he wants to use us. And he wants to get glory out of it. He wants you to serve the word of God wherever you go. Even if you're having a bad day, even if you're in a bad mood, even if things are in disarray in your life, guess what? He wants to use you. Saul, headed to Damascus to mess up some Christians. And he had this encounter. Do you think that there's nowhere in the scripture that says, Paul, would you get clean and righteous and then I'm going to do all this? So God began to unfold the plan in his life, for his life. And Saul didn't run from it. Saul allowed God to do that work. And sometimes it's blinding us to the things around us. Sometimes it's placing us in a place where no one likes us. And God wants to see, will you be faithful even when it doesn't make sense? Will you be faithful to carry out what he's asked you to do, even if it's not easy? See, I believe that we're in the last days. It's easy to say that. We've been saying it for the last 50 years or 100 years or whatever it is. But I believe time's getting short. And if time is getting short, then the reality that some people haven't heard about Jesus, that begins to weigh on you. It should. It should weigh on you that time is getting short and there's still those that haven't accepted Jesus. Now, I love the patience of the Lord. He is so patient. And he will give everybody plenty of rope because he wants them to be saved. You're wondering, well, why does that one keep flourishing over there and they are just not living right? Well, first of all, it's not our business. Secondly, our God wants none to perish. He is going to give opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and sometimes you and I are the opportunity. We're the ones that would say, I want you to know about Jesus. Amen. Let me just tell you what I think the Lord is telling me to let you know. And these that responded this morning, there's a bit of freedom that they'll walk in because they stepped out in faith. And it's not me, it's not my prayer, it's not any of that. It is the Holy Spirit that did the freeing. And you can expect to be changed. You can expect when he frees you to be changed. But I encourage you to don't walk back to the old way of doing things. You know, I talk about our dogs a lot, and we got one that's old and one that's not old, and one that he's the diaper dog that I talked about a couple weeks ago, but he sometimes drinks water so fast and drinks so much that he can't contain it, and he'll just let it go. And here we got our young one will come up and clean it all behind him. And then our old dog will go back and look for it as though that would have been something that he would have valued. But how many times do we find the freedom that God has given us? We walk in that freedom for a measure of time, but then we find ourselves going back to what it was that we had that was binding us, and we're somehow attracted to it. The Bible even talks about a dog going back to his vomit. Doesn't make any sense. I can tell you, I've thrown up a few times in my life, and I don't ever want to go back there. That is not a good place to be. But I have experienced freedoms in God before and gone back to those things that have confined me, that he freed me from. And that's not his idea of what's good for you. He wants you new and fresh. He wants you walking in the freedom. When you have freedom, there's something different about your gait. You will walk through life, even though maybe the same path that you've been on, but it will be different. There's a freedom that's there. And the freedom that you experience is not a man thing, it's a God thing. You can allow a man thing to bind you again, but the freedom that Jesus gives you means you're free indeed. So in these days, as we move forward in the last days, we've got to be conscious of the fact that there's still some that don't know Jesus. And we're being left here. We've been left here to do the stuff that Jesus was doing. And he actually sent us out as his disciples to go and do the heavy lifting. Speak about him. Cast out devils. Pray for the sick and see them recover. Pray the prayer of faith. See, your faith may be something that would help someone move up a little bit in their faith. Now, they're not dependent upon you. But there is something that happens when you come together. Susan can build my faith on a day that I don't have a lot of faith. All she has to do is speak the word of the Lord. And all of a sudden, you know, the natural part of me would say, oh, I knew that. And then her response was, why aren't you acting like you knew that? Because we can know the truth and still walk like we don't know the truth. And God wants you. He wants you in relationship with people so that we can help buoy each other up. When I'm down, she can help me a little bit. When she's down, I can help her a little bit. Elders, the same way on elders' wives, when they're down, we can help. When we're down, they can help. It is so important to be in close relationship with people. Now, the church decides you can't have a close relationship with everybody. But that's why these small groups are so important. That you may be there to study the Bible, but there is so much happening in there that you begin to carry each other's burdens. You begin to hurt when they hurt, rejoice when they rejoice, be even disappointed when they're disappointed. See, we're part of the body. It's a living body. So I just encourage you to take advantage of the stirring of the waters. God wants to renew and refresh in your life. God wants to, he wants to do more than you can even dream up, the word tells us. You can't even dream up how good God is. You can't even dream up how good he can restore. You can't even dream up how good he can carry you through the fire, through the lion's den, through your workplace, through the disjointed families that you're in. He can carry you through that. And I love the fact that he does it while we're living, that we're just in step with him. One step, he meets us. The next step, he meets us. And you may wonder why in the world he doesn't give you all 10 steps in advance. Well, you might not take the journey if you knew there were going to be 10 steps in this direction. But we can all take one step. We can all take one step of obedience. And all it takes is that one, and then you rely on God to give you the next one, then you're obedient with that. And then when he sees that you have been obedient in the few steps you've taken, he may give you a glimpse a little bit farther down the road, because you've been trustworthy with a little, he can trust you with a little more. But I think most of us would tuck tail and run if we see everything that was out in the middle, out in the future for us. But when we see that, we're seeing it without the power of God. Now, if we add the power of God to that vision, then we can do all kinds of things. We can see ourselves walking on water. We can see ourselves parting the sea. We can see ourselves doing these miracles because of the power of God. But our natural mind can't really grasp the reality of the power of God enough for God to give us our whole life ahead. We tuck tail and run. We try to find a hole to get into. Just let it pass. But God wants you actively living for him. He wants you actively feeding and shepherding his people. He wants you actively loving. He wants you active about the things of his kingdom. That we live in this world, but we're not of the world. Which means we have to find a way of functioning in the world, but not to become part of the world. See, we've got to be able to see the supernatural leadings of the Holy Spirit. That yes, we may be going through something terrible, but because of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't take the same tone as someone that is going through something terrible without the Holy Spirit. And when you walk through those things, you have people watching you. They're watching your every move. It's kind of scary sometimes, isn't it? They're watching every move. And if you have some similar moves to them or responses that they have and they don't have God, they see no reason to want to serve your God. But when we live our life contagiously aware that what we have, everybody needs. It's not that we're better, it's because it's not us. But what God has for us, he has for them. He's no respecter of persons. What God will do for me will do for you. And people need to grasp that. The Christians need to know that as we walk through this world, there's a responsibility to carry the things of the Spirit with us. To walk in power. To walk in faith. To walk in love. To walk paying attention to everyone else's plight in life. We can't meet everybody's needs, but we can certainly stand with them in their need. We can certainly help them in some way. And maybe they tell you, well, I'll pray for you, as being something very shallow. Well, the key to that is pray to them and pray about for them and mean it, but also with faith. expecting God to meet them. And listen, if you pray for people, it doesn't have to be a long and drawn out prayer. But if you stop what you're doing and pray for people, that makes a mark on them. There, you care enough about me that you would do this? What kind of God do you serve? Tell me a little bit about Him. May not come immediately, but it sure will come. There is a contagiousness of the Spirit that's there. God places it there so that we can influence people. Like Michael is going to influence his family in new ways. And he may be going, oh my goodness, what have I got? You don't have to do anything. You just have to be obedient to what God tells you to do. You don't have to have this master plan, but be aware that God's called us to influence people. He's called us to help people along the way. He's called us to nurture people, to feed people, to shepherd people, to love people. And those are the distinctives that show who we serve. There's a song I think we used to sing, they'll know we are Christians by our love. I know it's a verse too, but there's a song that we sang, and it was so repetitive, but it was so important to have that deep inside of you that they'll know that I'm a Christian on how I love. They'll know who I serve because of how I love. And how many of us have people in our life that we have kind of removed our love from? Now that sounds harsh, but for a Christian to be actively following Jesus, that shouldn't happen. We're to love His creations. You know, we've had lots of neighbors over the years, lots of good neighbors. We had one time that wasn't so good a neighbor. Some of you have been to our house. You know, we live on a little circle. There's only three houses on the circle. So we have this wooded buffer zone that shields our street from a main road or a more busy road. Susan and I own half of that buffer zone. So it's like an extension of our property, although it is across the street. Well, we had this neighbor that decided that because it was a wooded lot, he can park his cars over there. And that really irked me. I mean, it really got beside me. So I would talk to him every now and then, you know, just remind him that's my property, da 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 da. He had plenty of property. He didn't need to use my stuff. But it just irked me, and I find myself not giving him a whole bunch of love. It just got next to me. So then I said, well, he's not listening, so I went ahead and planted some shrubs where his car would be parked. And that worked. But still something in my heart, he was one of the neighbors that wasn't the good one. You know, all these neighbors we've had for years, one of them stands out not being so good. So the Lord began to work in my heart, because just because someone encroached me and didn't do things the way I wanted them to do things, and I had to get a little heavy-handed, I shouldn't have removed my love from him. I didn't do it in an overt way, but how many of you know you can remove your love for someone for spite, and they don't even know it, but you know you did it? Well, I was one of those. Well, the Lord began to work in my heart, and I got soft toward him. I even edged his front yard on the street all the way down with my edger. And I wanted to do it when he wasn't there. I didn't want him to see me doing it. I just did it. So I would do things so that I could show God that I loved him. Well, the man's wife died. And we heard about it. The rumor mill on a three-house street, man, it's going. So we heard about it pretty quick. So I went over there, and it was the day she died, and he was broken, obviously. And I walked in his house. He invited me in. I'd never been in his house, I remember. He invited me in and was just telling me about it. And I asked him if I could pray for him. And I laid hands on him, prayed for him, and he just broke down. and cried and wept. And in that moment, I knew that God had really changed my heart, because there was not even a stench of what he had done anymore. And I wonder how many of these cases we have in our lives that we've removed our love from people. And maybe they don't even know it. I don't have a clue that he even knew it. But I did it. And it was something in my heart. And God put his finger on it. And I'm so thankful he put his finger on it before his wife died. Because I'm not sure I would have been obedient if I hadn't allowed him to work in my heart. I'd like to think I would have been. But I can't guarantee that. Because when we build these walls with people, we build a wall and we don't build a door. There's no holes in the walls. We build a wall and we're just not going to go there anymore. It just irked me so that I had to keep telling him that was our property. And that may sound really little to you, but doggone it, it was mine. Mine in the bank, excuse me. But the Lord wouldn't let me stay there. And that doesn't mean that I don't have more room to grow. But when I think about loving my neighbor, and I know it's far bigger than neighbor, I had to deal with a bona fide neighbor before I could deal with the ones across the street or the ones down the block or the ones that I had been harboring for a long time. See, it's like it had to be home, brought home to me before I could really grasp that. So I just encourage you. Yes, following Jesus means we're going to feed and shepherd, but it also means you're going to love his people. You can't be a small group leader if you don't have love for God's people. It just won't work. It'll just be a task that you do. But you can't be an effective witness unless you love God's people. Now, if you need a qualification on who God's people are, he created every person in his image. They're his people. Whether they made a decision or not is irrelevant. They're not the church, but they're his people. He's created them. And God has us strategically placed in situations where we can be rubbed wrong, where someone can park on our property and not get off. Somebody that is just brash and just know-it-all. Don't you hate know-it-alls? Don't you hate know-it-alls? But he'll place you right in the midst of that. And then say, do you love my people? Well, yeah, I love some of your people. That would be most of our response. If we're be honest, we love some of his people. But how about the one that sins a little bit different than you do? No, I don't love them. Well, why not? Because God has called us to love. He has called us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and body, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Your neighbor, talked a little bit about that last week. It's just who God brings you in path with. We had another neighbor behind us that we never got to have a wonderful conversation with ever, but we searched our heart for that. He was throwing trash in my yard. Consistently trash in my yard. I don't know why God gave me those two neighbors. But I had to forgive over and over and over again. Now, I confronted him, and he said a few words I hadn't used in a few years, but took no ownership at all. But and we're in the city of Forest Acres, and our backyard starts the city of Columbia. City of Forest Acres police couldn't do anything about it because they don't have jurisdiction over there. City of Columbia wouldn't do anything about it because I wasn't a City of Columbia resident. So it just got nasty internally. Until God worked on our hearts. Now, I said we only had one bad neighbor. We had two. Sorry. We had two. I guess if I preach long enough, we might have had three or four. but it's two that I can remember right now. But my point is that God, if you want to go on with God, He's not going to leave you in that state of harboring, of not loving His people, not feeding His people, not shepherding His people. He has called us to love. In fact, that should be our best feature, to love. And it should be the thing we lead with. Don't make them really get to know you deep before they find out you love them. We should lead with that. Why? Because it's not our love to start with. It's God loves us so much that He sent Jesus to die for our sins, to pay the price for our sins, so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. We wouldn't have to pay the price for our sins. And sometimes we reserve that love that He's given us until that person maybe has earned it, when we didn't have to earn it at all. God loves us unconditionally. He loves us without fail. God's love is faithful. Lamentations 3:22 says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease." God's love is everlasting. Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness." Listen, we can't even come to God without Him drawing us with His love. God's love is eternal. John 3:16, we just said that, "For God loved the world that He gave us His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life," who have eternal life. God's love is undeserving. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We didn't deserve it, but His love is undeserving. God's love is enduring. In 1 Chronicles 16:34, "Give thanks to the Lord because He's good, because His love endures forever." You see, it's not possible to actively follow Jesus in our own strength. You can try, but you'll fail. It's not possible to actively feed and shepherd God's creations in your own strength. You can try, but you'll fail. It's not possible to actively love God and our neighbor in our own strength. You can try, but you'll fail. Activating, following Jesus, being active in following Jesus, takes His power and strength. Feeding and shepherding God's people takes His power and strength. Loving God and our neighbor takes His power and strength. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I'll help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Some versions say mighty right hand. So what's the next step in this? Well, just like Nike would say, just do it. Just do it. Counselors tell us all the time, love is not a feeling, it's a decision. If you wait till you feel like it, you'll never do it. Remember this, 1 John 4:19 through 21, "We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever doesn't love their brother or sister from whom they've seen cannot love God from whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." Listen, we live in a world that's full of people that are just hard to love. It's interesting that Jesus would ask us to excel in love. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 and 13, "And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound," some versions say to excel, "in love for one another and for all, just as we do for you, so that your hearts are strengthened in holiness to be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." For a Jesus follower, actively loving others is not an option. For a Jesus follower, Someone being hard to love isn't an excuse to withhold our love. For a Jesus follower, we are to lead with love. That's our best feature. We're to lead with it. We need to be known for our love. We need to be known that way. Not as the one that's hard to love. Not as the one that's just grates on your nerves. Or that complains all the time. See, if we need to be known for anything, it needs to be the love of God in us. That's what makes us contagious and attractive for others. Who would want what we have if we don't show the love of God? Because that is God's best feature. It's how much He loves us. Today, I challenge you to make the decision to love all of God's creations, especially the hard-to-love ones. Those people that He brings in our path are your neighbors. And we've been commanded to love God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Let's pray.